Die groot trek saam Dopie en Nina, weekdae tussen 3 en 6.
So, ons het 'n belofte gemaak op die lig en dit is lekker om die belofte te kan hou uiteindelik. Ons het gesê ons sal aanhou klop aan die burgemeester se deur totdat ons die burgemeester in die ateljee het en uiteindelik het die skedule so uitgewerk dat Dr. Nasipi Moya gesê het, "Hier is ek. Ons kom kuier." So, Mrs. Is it Mrs.? Are you married?
It's doctor.
It's doctor.
Not a medical doctor, but doctor, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Fantastic to have you in studio finally after months.
I know. It's like we've kept the best for last.
There we go.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
That's what we want to know.
And good afternoon to the listeners.
So from our family at Groot FM, we welcome you and we wish you all the best. We wanted to do this a little bit earlier, but obviously your schedule is a busy one. And we would hope so, because it is very important that you obviously do what the residents of Tshwane need you to do, and that's be on the ground and make sure that service delivery is happening and that all the big decisions are being made promptly, right?
Yes, definitely.
So let's kick off with a few of the things that we've spoken about with previous mayors in the past, and this would be stuff that's been a process. It's something that takes long, and I want to start off maybe with Rooiwal. If that's fine.
Yes.
We spoke to Sylvia Brink, and he mentioned that there was a process that was put in place so we could be more energy self-sufficient, similar to Cape Town. And that would be Rooiwal having a few steps and then, you know, contributing to the electricity grid in Pretoria so that we don't have to struggle so much. Is that still a project that is on the table at the moment?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a couple of projects that must continue in the city. The issue of Rooiwal Power Station and the Pretoria West Power Station. It's an eyesore that we've got these power stations, but they're not doing anything for the city. Instead, we're spending millions just to keep them standing. So there was a process that was started for the Pretoria West. And these projects are to make sure that we are energy secured, as you are saying. So for Pretoria West, that's the option where we are looking at waste to energy, that we are working with GIFA from province, an entity of the provincial government, to have waste for energy. Then it also resolves our issues with landfill sites that are filling up. Rooiwal Power Station, that is still on track as well. There was a decision to go look for a transactional advisor, but we then got into a discussion with Eskom because the monies that are required, we don't have them, and we don't want to start a process and then we stop. So we started a conversation with Eskom, who the minister then said, we would gladly work with you to get the power station up and running. And so what the teams are doing now, the technical teams, is just to consolidate what would be that arrangement with Eskom to get the power station going. But those two power stations are definitely on track to be revived.
So do you have a timeline for us?
Well, in terms of the economic revitalization strategy that we have now, together with our energy security strategy, it must be as soon as possible. But of course, the moment you have another entity of government, they must go through their decision-making process. But from our side, we've made the principal decision that if Eskom can back us up financially, because that's the problem for us, that we are unable to move fast on our terms because we don't have the money. And there is always a risk when you put things out to the market. The market may not respond, may respond in a way that you don't like. Hence, it's easier to just get into with an entity of government, especially the one that's like Eskom. So as soon as Eskom, we met the minister, I think it was 2 weeks ago.
Sputla.
Yes. So we met him 2 weeks ago and we agreed together with some of the primary substations that we need to basically stabilize in preparation for the winter load. So that's on track.
Mayor, and it sounds like there is something in the works, but I'm going to be the citizen now, and I'm going to speak frank to you while we have you here. We don't trust Eskom. We don't. And that's why I think the previous mayor maybe went into the private sector, because from being a radio station like ours and speaking to a lot of influential business people, there are people who want to help in Tshwane, similar to Cape Town. There are people with money that are willing to come to the party, but Eskom has proven that they aren't reliable and they don't have funding. The government are bailing them out. So why, if that is the situation and we all as residents of South Africa understand that, why still knock on the door?
Well, first of all, there's technical work that needs to be done. We don't have that capacity as the city of Tshwane, even to say how will we protect the interest of the city of Tshwane when we take this thing out there. To just say, let's look for a transactional advisor, when you as the city, you don't have capacity. We don't even have capacity to complete our capital projects. All of a sudden now we need expertise to just put together a proposal that is going to protect the interest of the city, that we don't take this asset of the people, because these are not our assets. We can't just put to the market willy-nilly. We must have assurances that these are the terms and conditions of the city of Tshwane. When we put to the market, is it a lease? Is it a triple P? But what are the conditions? How will we make sure that the resident of Tshwane will not will benefit from the transaction? So when this administration got in, we got a feedback in terms of the energy task team, the work that they were doing. Literally, people fought in front of us and didn't give us anything solid. That's when I pulled back. I said, if we don't have a case as the city that makes sense to me, who's supposed to make this decision, that means the work has not been done. Hence, we then had to look for expertise and say, we don't have the expertise. If I can't explain to you what we are going to get out of this deal when we put it out there to the private sector, what are we putting, what are our conditions? If right now I don't have those answers, that means I would be making an uninformed decision. That's what then led us to then say to Eskom, you're an entity of government. Obviously, they are expertise that I... Do you have expertise? They said, yes. We said, okay, can we talk to you about putting together this? Of course, when we work with Eskom, it's not Eskom who's going to pay. We need to put this on the market eventually, but build a business case first.
But will we, as the city of Tshwane, still keep Eskom responsible for, if we do bring them on for these power projects, that there are certain deliverables that they need to reach in a certain amount of time?
So for now, the ask is that help us to build a business case. That's the ask. Then we put it to the market. But at least the city of Tshwane would say, when we put to the market, this is what we are looking for. Right? Are we looking for an investor? Are we looking for a triple P? Are we completely putting it 100%? Do we still want to invest? Those are the answers that the team must give us so that when we put to the market, we know what we are talking about. I understand that, for instance, giving it to a transactional advisor. You don't just say a transactional advisor, go hunt. You say, go hunt for ABC, and that's what I want. Go hunt for ABC. So what will happen with the Eskom? Firstly, just help us with the business case, and then the City of Tshwane Council must make a decision. This is an asset of the city, so it's not that it's going to end up in a mayoral boardroom. This is a decision that must be taken by council to say this project has dragged for almost 2 decades. And we have suffered. I mean, when you think about it, we're not even supposed to be affected by load shedding as city of Tshwane, only if someone would have made a decision when the decision was supposed to be made. So it's not that we are farming out to Eskom, but we're looking for a partner in getting the expertise that we need to make the business case for this.
So Dr. Nasipi, from energy to water, and Hammans Kraal has had issues. Has that situation been resolved yet?
So the two parts when it comes to Hammans Kraal in terms of the way forward. So we know communities without water for 20 years because of the Royval wastewater treatment plant that was supposed to be upgraded. It wasn't upgraded. It ended up causing more pollution and harm to the rivers and the people. And so the two projects, one, there's the short-term projects, which project that was launched in April 2024 by the former Minister of Water and Sanitation and the former mayor. And so that one was supposed to then, in terms of the schedule at the time, provide clean water to all those areas that are supposed to be supplied through the Rooival Wastewater Treatment Plant, but by building a package plant at Klipdrift. So it's a short-term intervention. In terms of the schedule, the first module was supposed to be completed in September last year, the second one February this year, April and June. End of June, ideally, all those areas would have clean water. The first issue, so the budget is for Department of Water and Sanitation. They've paid for almost $1 billion for the project.
Wow.
So from the side of town, our responsibility is the reticulation side. That's what the repairs and maintenance and distribution of water to the taps of the residents.
So was the February date made then?
Now, the first one that was supposed to be September 2024 yes. was not met.
Okay.
It was only delivered early January.
Okay.
And that has had an impact on the February one that so far we are told end of March, but we are going there on Tuesday to check that. But it's likely to have an impact on others. But ideally, end of June, everyone who's supposed to be supplied through Rooival should have clean water. But we'll know for sure and communicate on Tuesday. The long term is that as City of Tshwane, we still have to upgrade the Rooival Wastewater Treatment Plant. Mm-hmm. Phase one is going very well. In fact, we are well ahead of schedule. In January, we finished, the 1A, and it was supposed to be finished in March, and then we were able to start with 1B, which was supposed to only start in September. So we're quite comfortable that by next year, June, phase one upgrade will be done. What we are working on now is money for phase two, because now we must expand the capacity of the plant. So that's the money that we don't have, the 4 billion rand that we've gone to Treasury through the facility. We are looking in the private sector for phase two. But phase one, money is allocated even in the budget for the next financial year, the money is there. So there's no issue in completing that phase one project.
Well, Mayor, since taking office, what's been some of the biggest challenges that you've faced?
I think the first one is obviously you have an unfunded budget. That means you have commitments you can't pay for.
Yeah.
So that does cause some problems in terms of service delivery. You can't deliver because you don't have money, basically. Mm. The second one was the issue of how the finances were, the financial bleed in the system, that we even with the creditors, for instance, the creditors, we owed about 11 billion when we came in, and most of it, more than 50% was Eskom that we have not been paying, and it was accumulating a lot of interest. So at any given month, we'd pay something like 55 million rand just on interest and not even on the debt itself. So that was the other one. So all the problems, they center around the finances. And when we are still grappling with the issue of finances, then the Auditor General came back and said, you still have a qualified audit opinion. And obviously that tells you two things. The institution is not where it's supposed to be. In fact, it's far from where it's supposed to be. So then the responses to those challenges to say, how do we stabilize the finances? What are the measures that, the audit opinion came and it is the outcome of what has happened? What do we do in preparation for the next one? But in terms of the financial bleed, we've come a long way. That even it's reflecting on the adjustment budget that we have submitted, where we've reduced the deficit significantly, because what we are aiming for is that the city has had an unfunded budget for a couple of years. It's not helping us because now we can't even go look for a loan for capital projects. So what we have decided, whatever we did for adjustment budget, we were paving and getting the officials to be prepared that we're going to have a funded budget when we take the draft budget at the end of March to council. And secondly, we deal with the findings of the Auditor General to a point where we have even applied to submit for pre-audit to AG, which we are submitting all our files end of this month, so that if there are any issues, they can be picked up quite early. And we've done some work in terms of responding to even to the previous findings that Auditor General has had. We've entered into a payment agreement with Eskom, which helped us with the interest and some predictability in our expenditure, to a point where even our liquidity ratio then improved significantly from that. And we are now working very hard to deal with other service providers, other creditors. We are paying the rent water on time, so we are good. Mahalis, we are good. Eskom, now we are good. So it's just the service providers that we are still not paying them within 30 days that we have to. Then the other issue is people not paying bills in the city.
Mm. Are you still cutting power off, going out and cutting power off to the big corporate?
And getting into trouble in the process. Yeah, people don't like it when you do it.
So no, but we don't like it if they don't pay.
I'm glad. I thought I was the only one because I pay my bills on time well in advance. Yeah. So we've got a debtors book of 29 billion rand. And it didn't start last week. So you can see majority of it is over a year. And it's government, it's big businesses, it's residents. And then we undertook a process where we had to classify the debtors book and say, who are these people who are not paying? What is their economic status now? Because obviously, most people have not recovered from COVID.
Mm.
And we can't divorce people's, debts from what is happening. People are in economic hardships. We are all hit by, whatever is happening. And so we then find out that we've got a portion that are child-headed households, about 2 billion rand. The parents have passed on. There has never been a proper transfer to. So there is that. Then there are those households that are supposed to be indigents, but they are not properly registered on the indigents. As a result, we cut them off because through the prepaid meter, if you owe us, we then lock you and say you. And then Umagogo comes with a bill of 120,000 rand. You're like, but you're an indigent. Why are you having this bill? So there was that process. And then we then got to residents to say, what is it that we can do just to assist residents to rehabilitate them and help them with arrangements that make sense, and business, because there are businesses that have not recovered from COVID. So we then approved a debtor relief scheme at the end of Feb. And we also have people who are connecting illegally.
Yes.
And because
which is a big problem.
It's a huge problem. So the ones that are doing at a household level, we would then penalties 29,000 rand when we find you. But those people are the same people that we consider to be indigents. You see, so what we then said, we gave an amnesty of 31 days between 1 March to 31st March. If you know you've connected illegally, come. We will help you rehabilitate. We'll take that meter. We put that meter.
And the people come.
They are coming in numbers.
Harangua, Mamelodi,
Atlechville, Hammanskraal. Those are the townships. The illegal connections that we using a different strategy for is the informal settlements. Because those ones, it's a massive connection and network and illegal transformers and everything else. But then we also, for the rest of the clients, we have, we've given them until the 30th of June. To come. And so then there are different incentives. We waive the interest and then you can just pay the capital debt. Because what we need to get to is to say how many of these customers are able to be rehabilitated and be paying customers. How many belong to the indigent so that we can just register them so we can separate. With businesses, we also give some amnesty and waive some interest and say, we know you're a business, but if you've been owing us, come forward, let's help you. The ones that we're not going to help is government. They are excluded. Government is
I'm sure they
pay enough tax for that.
I'm sure they like that. Now, just quickly on the water and the funding, the adjustment of the budget's been done. But there's a few concerning things that happened. One of those is the allocation of over 240 million rand towards water tankers again. Why is this necessary? Are we going to see more water shortages? Is this in the plans?
So the allocation was dealing with an over expenditure. So we were budgeting for money that has been spent. And there are two reasons why that money, the money was overspent. So sometime in August or beginning September, we had a group of water tankers coming to block Tshwane House because they had not been paid. And the bill was in the millions. And they were, because when people come and block Tshwane House, we couldn't even get out of Tshwane House that day. That's how hectic that was.
Mm.
Then there was an emergency meeting with the leadership, and the verdict was that pay these people millions of... And you know, in those negotiations, there's not much room to negotiate.
Mm.
Then that money was paid from the previous financial year, and it was taken from a budget of this financial year. That was one. The second instance where we overspent was when we had a water crisis in November. There were 4 or 5 days where Lodiam, Atteridgeville, Soshanguve, these areas, they didn't have water. I think there was part of Pretoria East also didn't
also
have water.
Also affected, yes.
So from those days, because there was an issue with Palmit, the substation, because Eskom was down. So that was the cause of the water. So because we didn't get water from Rand Water, yes, it was from that crisis. It's not the Rand Water who pays, because it's our responsibility as the municipality. When there are cases like that, we still have a responsibility to deliver water to our residents. And that water is not billed for you. I can't bill you for water that's coming from the water tanker. And so those are the two instances that drove the expenditure. So what we were budgeting for was to cover the over expenditure. It wasn't to look forward to water tankers. Contrary to that, residents everywhere, they tell us they hate water tankers. The only people who love water tankers are the owners of water tankers.
Mm.
Yeah.
Otherwise, no, they love them. But the residents themselves, you can go to informal settlements. Then there are two things that we've been asking, including the former mayor. What is the alternative way of providing water in informal settlements, for instance, where we pay $1.5 billion a year on water tankers and chemical toilets?
Mm.
Can't we take that money, invest it on a, you know, stands or something, you know, give us? And obviously people are not responding as fast as we want.
Mm.
The other option, can't we buy our own for emergencies?
Yes.
Because if it's your water tanker, you park it there. And then when there's an emergency, you call the driver, they go deliver water. Because, by the way, this is, anyway. Water tankers, when we tender, that 1.5 billion portion of it that goes to water tankers, it's even more, by the way, because for some reason, the department that is only providing to formal areas, their expenditure has exponentially grew. Why? It's only for emergencies. But anyway, when we tender, we only tender for transport. They use our water. So when we're struggling to reduce water losses, it's because we can't account for that money.
Yeah.
Lots of sense. Okay, we have a little bit more time with the mayor. We'll be back. Die burgemeester van Tshwane, Dr. Nasipi Moya. En dit is regtig lekker om my hier te hê, want I think that's one of the biggest things we wanted to achieve with having you here. And this is something that I spoke to your team about, why we would like to give you the platform to come and explain. Because we hear stuff in the news, we hear stuff in the media, but sometimes it needs explanation. And when that explanation comes from the mayor, it makes sense to the residents, because we are, the news stories are open to interpretation. And that's where we feel that we have the platform. We would like to extend the platform to you and have you come on as often as you like and tell us, listen, this is what's happening, guys. Everyone just relax. We've got it under control. Or tell us, listen, we need your help. Let's mobilize people. Let's go do a cleanup. Let's go out and help a community in need.
Yes.
Because that's what we are here for.
Yes.
as the radio station. But there are projects that you are already busy with, and people will see betterment in their communities. Mm. And I'm talking specifically about the Riaspana project. So tell us a little bit about what's happening with that.
So Riaspana, so it means we are working, basically.
Mm.
And
we would hope.
So what we've decided is that, so every day there are teams, Tshwane teams, that are working in some parts of Tshwane. Mm. So, you know, we are divided in 7 regions in terms of how we've demarcated that work, urban management in the city. And every day we will have teams, whether patching potholes, fixing streetlights. But we then said, listen, we need a program that is going to give us impact on an area. So every Friday we go to a particular area that would have been identified to have, say, for instance, this community, we haven't done much in the past, say, 3 months. So we go into that community. So we were here in this side, we were in Equestria the other week.
I saw that. Yeah, and I saw the teams and the trucks, and everyone was mobilized that side.
So what we do when we come like that, we bring all the urban management teams. We bring
all of the resources. This is now electricity, roads, everything.
Yes, and then we bring TMPD for bylaw enforcement. As well. So for us, we want to leave an area better than we found it. So we would have done it in places like Sokolume or Winterveld, but we in Centurion, we've been to Mamelodi, today we're in Jugu Lane in Soshanguve. And basically what we're trying to do as the political leadership when we do such programs, that we go to Imbizos, to public engagements, residents tell us their issues. And one of the issues would be, but you guys are not bringing services here. So I say, instead of only responding to fixing potholes, let's just take resources and know that that area is covered.
So take the whole team.
Yes. So last week we're in Attridgeville. A few weeks ago, we had a public meeting in Attridgeville, and they were complaining about the high mast lights and the street lights. Mm. We said, well, let's go and respond there. So we had a public meeting in Erasmus Kloof. There were issues that were raised there. So then, the next time we come this side, it's going to be bringing resources to respond to the issues that were raised by the residents. We leave impact instead of sending one team. So that's what Riaspana is about. However, every single day, there are teams of Tshwane that are doing something about improving the city, including bylaw enforcement. It's something that that the residents are calling for, that deal with the lawlessness, whether in the CBD, the Pretoria Central, the Cullinan, whatever, deal with the lawlessness. So we've got our TMPD teams that are in regions, and we also insist on visibility to deal with the issue of crime.
So Nasipi, for the Riaspana project, how do you identify where to go to? And is it possible for people from a certain community, like, let's say, for instance, I saw some WhatsApps coming through from the Moot that's struggling with power or whatever it is. Can citizens put up their hands and say, please come bring Riaspana to us? And how do they go about that?
So we identify the areas in different ways. One, if we've been to a public engagement and the residents would have raised it. Secondly, one of the MMCs, because we have an MMC, deployed to a region, for instance, in Region 4, the MMC came and said, listen, that ward needs attention.
And when I would imagine the councillors as well, informing.
So the councillors ideally must work with the MMC. So she went to a public meeting with the councillors, and the councillors say, you guys are not bringing Riaspana here. Then she came back and said, can we take Riaspana to Region 4? Then we took Riaspana there. Sometimes it's the residents, for instance, in Lodia. They are very active residents. They said, please bring Riaspana to us. They were with us. They were cleaning with us. We did bylaw enforcement. They showed around what are the issues in, like, you know, when it comes to, there's a White House, a drug den. So sometimes it's the residents that are saying, but I must admit, because we've only been doing this for, 4 months, so we have only responded to the communities that we've been to. And here, the reason why we came to Equestria, because it was visible that there was issues of bylaw enforcement that was not happening.
Especially next to the road.
Exactly. So I saw that, and then I said, no, take it there. Mm. And when we...
And also the Equestria residents are very vocal.
Well,
you'll hear from them very quickly.
Definitely. Yes. So that's what I'm saying. So it's not that we're selective, but obviously there are areas that... they are crying for help. You just drive in, you just see this area. I mean, the reason we went to Winterveld, nothing is happening there. And there's a lot of social ills because it's dirty. There's absolutely absolutely nothing. We're not even collecting waste, for instance, in Winterfell. So there are those areas that you know that they do need attention, like Sokolume. Sokolume is in the rurals, in the outskirts there. And if it's those areas that if you're not paying attention to, you are losing out your residents. Mm.
But Maya, Riaspana then as a project will be an ongoing one.
Oh,
this is not
every
just
Friday.
Until it's fixed,
oh, yes.
We will be seeing these teams
definitely
coming to the same neighborhood or the same ward more than once. If there's an issue, the Riaspana project will be there.
Yes. So the Riaspana, we normally use it for the Fridays. But so at the beginning of the month, the councillors know the schedule of the activities that are coming to their wards. That's the daily work that needs to happen. Obviously, it's balancing of resources. So that is urban management. They will know which, where grass will be cut, which roads will be patched in terms of potholes, which high-mast lights or street lights will be fixed. So those plans get communicated at a regional level to the councillors, ward and PR councillors. So that's the work that happens daily. But on the Riaspana, that's for impact. So those ones will continue every Friday.
Lovely.
So, Nasipi, before we let you go, what would you like to say to the residents of Pretoria?
You know, I think this city has had its challenges, right? And residents have had to absorb the impact of the challenges. And I always say that all the cities have not recovered from COVID. But it didn't mean that we have said to residents, you know, stop your responsibility towards the municipality of paying your bills. And therefore, they deserve services. And so the work that we are putting in, starting with the adjustment budget, making sure that there's value for money in the work that we're going to do using the adjusted budget and going into the next financial year, is at the center of everything, is to say we want to improve the services that we deliver to the residents of Tshwane, because we know they deserve it, that we're going to get the funded budget. Whether if it takes, that my salary must be cut in half, that must happen to get that funded budget, because we need to be able to have a healthy institution that can deliver services. Beyond that, every single day, services will be delivered in the city of Tshwane. It may not be at the scale that is desired and that is necessary, but with the little that we have, we will stretch the resources, that there's no resident of Tshwane that feels that we are neglecting them. And thirdly, we do ask that residents, when we come to their areas for public meetings, please come. I said to the residents of Erasmus Kloof, as the executive mayor, the last thing I want to do is to politicize government. We want to use that platform for residents. If they want to insult us because they are not happy with us, they must come and insult us in the meeting. But I don't want them to withdraw from government, because the moment they are not in the meeting, we don't get to know what is it that they think of their government. And it is their government. And therefore, I do appeal that we're going to have these public meetings. Obviously, we're rotating in all regions. But we are asking for residents, when there's a platform where they are called to come and participate, whether it's a bylaw, whether it's a service delivery in Mbizo, please, we are asking for residents to participate.
Come say your say rather than stay away.
We'll make it a little bit easier for you. And this is the hand that we stretched out to all the previous mayors as well. Before we get to that, we just expect from you, as now our elected mayor, be very hard on corruption. We, as the residents of Tshwane, we don't want to hear about corruption, especially in the news. Be sure that, you know, we don't want politics. We're all tired. You included are tired of politics when it comes to service delivery. Let's cut the red tape. We don't need that. And then you mentioned the platform. We would like to give you the platform, and we would like you to commit to say once a month, let's have a check in. Give us feedback. Give us the opportunity to ask questions from the residents.
Yes.
Then you don't have to go and have all of these meetings in the residents, because we could be that we could be that connection for you between the residents and your office.
Definitely.
Can we have you commit to access to your MMCs on the show? access to you at least once a month or as soon as much as possible as your schedule allows to be on the show. And then also, can we have your commitment to have a direct line to your office where we could speak to you if something comes up, if we find out something in the in our community is wrong, that we could speak to you directly as the mayor, as the other mayors gave that to us? We would like to find out, is it possible from you? So we could tell you, Mayor Moya, this is the issue in this area. Can we address it and how we can address it?
Access granted to the Office of the Executive Mayor. Access granted to all the MMCs.
Yes.
Thank you.
And direct line. Can we have the direct line?
Oh, yeah. That's access.
Okay, full access. We got full access.
Full access.
Full access.
What do you mean?
Full access.
And also, there's also the tagging on Twitter when I'm tweeting about my shoes, and then you're like, you're tweeting about your shoes, but the reservoir is not working. You that know, is also allowed.
No, Mayor, I think the thing is that residents need to remember as well, and they might crucify me for saying this, but you haven't been in office long enough to show what you are putting in place. Right. So we need to give you time to also the things that you need to do and that you need to accomplish, to give you time to put that in motion, because these things don't change overnight. Mm. So we are allowing you that time, but we want to hold you accountable as well as a resident of Tshwane for when these things need to happen and they don't happen, to say, you know, you are stepping over the line maybe a little bit. And I think that as a public servant, that is only fair.
Oh, of course.
But Mayor, it's been an absolute, you are the nicest person. I wanted to be a little bit more angry, but I can't. I just can't be angry. But thank you for taking time to speak to us. Yes. We really do appreciate it. And I know you are a very proud Tshwane resident as well. So we are looking forward to seeing massive change, but we want to be that change with you. So whenever you need hands, you know who to call, you know where to go.
Definitely.
And you're part of the Groot FM family now. So
now,
welcome.
I know I am. I just need to pronounce it. The Xhosa accent, it gets in the way of Groot. So I mean, I need to practice. You know, I just want to make the last point. So the community builders in the city of Tshwane, very proud ones at that. And I want to work with them. So, you know, there's already, you know, a group that's cleaning their city, so their area. Or they want to patch potholes and
like
they
the just want project or whatever.
Yes. They just want government to say, can we do it without you making noise about us using your road to fix it? Though that is also welcome. If there is a community leader somewhere that says, listen, we want to work in our community, can the municipality partner with us? Believe me, I'll take that. I'll attend that. So also, I'm opening that access to those community leaders. Because one
taking
thing
away the red tape.
Yes, because one thing I know about Tshwane is that I lead among leaders. And people who love this city. And I wouldn't want them to be frustrated by some junior official who's not giving them access to this. If you say, I want to improve my community, I want to patrol, I want to help you with cable theft, please, that person...
Put up your hand and do it.
Exactly.
Fantastic. Dit is ons Tshwane burgemeester, Dr. Nasipi Moya. Ons sal hierdie ook vir jou podcast. En ons sal weer met haar gesels. We'll have a check-in at the end of April to see how things are going. I can't wait to hear more about Ria Spana and how those things are affected. Maar ons kan vir jou sê, ons het 'n directe lyn nou met die burgemeester. En sou daar iets wees wat onder haar aandag moet wees, sal ons dit onder haar aandag sit.
Kuier maandag tot vrydag saam, Dobie en Nina, 3 tot 6, net hier op die Groot Trek op Groot FM 90.5.